It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
We got 2 weeks to figure out what's going to happen for the Green Bay Packers. Jason Wilde and the Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga, can discuss it. Kickers, backup quarterbacks. Chris will be looking for the exact tweet that I had the day they drafted the quarterback from Penn State, and I said he stinks. And it took a while. Everybody said I was too early. How do you make your judgments that fast? Jason Wilde probably said the same. And I said, because everybody in the Big Ten told me he can't play on a regular basis. That would be Sean Clifford. Take it away, Jason Wilde.
Jason, how are you doing this evening?
I have so many questions. Start everybody in the Big Ten told you he couldn't play? I didn't know you talked to everybody in the Big Ten. That's amazing.
Excuse me, take two. Everybody I talked to in the Big Ten, if you required the number, that would be two.
Okay, that's a pretty good sample size. So here's the real question. Because Brian is younger. I mean, I'm not nearly as old as old man True over here. But is it now... Are people going to get a reference if I drop a "What you talking about, Willis?" now that they've traded for Malik Willis, or does that go over the head of people Brian's age and younger?
It may go over their head. It may go over their head.
It's a classic from Different Strokes.
I don't know,
Brian. I'm really. You know, the price tag wasn't very much, a seventh-round pick.
It's not conditional, right? I wanted to make sure that.
I don't know that.
Because that's huge.
I've not gotten that confirmed. Yes, that is part of the equation. There's no doubt about it that when it's conditional, it obviously, you know, he's got to be on the roster for X number of games. I don't know that yet. All I have confirmed is that they made the trade and that it's a seventh. But, you know, we're supposed to talk to Goody on Wednesday, and that'll be one of our questions. But...
You also ask him why they had to trade? The guy was probably going to get cut. There were two people ahead of him. Well, what's the rush?
He was, but if he gets cut, there's probably other teams that... Look, he was a third-round pick, okay? He didn't really get much of an opportunity in Tennessee, right? His rookie year, I think he started three games. They drafted him. They had Ryan Tannehill, obviously, already. And he started three games when Tannehill was hurt. They went 1-2. He wasn't great, but, you know, he was coming from Liberty. He had spent 2 years at Auburn and then transferred. So, like, you know, his rookie year, I'm not sure that you could judge much off that. Because, again, as I often say about Jordan Love, who now we all know is so awesome, he wouldn't have been awesome had he played right away. So then last year, you know, I think he went into one game when Tannehill was hurt, played okay against the Ravens, didn't make any big mistakes, but they lost that game. And, you know, the guy who had drafted him, John Robinson, was the GM before. Well, they fired him in 2022 down the stretch of the season. And so the guy who drafted Malik Willis is no longer the GM. They drafted Will Levis last year at the top of the second round. Like, the clock was ticking on his career in Tennessee anyway. When the new regime comes in and drafts somebody else, they've made it very clear that they don't think you're the guy. And so it was just a question of when, not if, that they were going to move on from him. And so, but my point, and Homer, your question is a fair one. The mentality here is there's probably more than just the Packers who would be interested in claiming him if he got cut. So this way, you make sure you get the guy if you like him as much as the Packers may, and that way you give up a seventh-round pick. You're going to get some conditional picks anyway from free agency, so it's not that big of a deal. They've got some connections to that staff. Chad Brinker is in Tennessee who worked here, so I'm sure they kind of work that angle. But the bottom line is he good enough? Is he an upgrade over Clifford or Pratt? And I don't think just because of his draft status, we can say that he definitively is. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I don't. We saw the ups and downs of the backup quarterbacks throughout preseason. As I said, multiple times. Mm-hmm. It is truly hard to judge the backups when they're not in there with the starters. I get that, but that's the position they're put in. That's the way it goes, and you have to make a judgment call. Obviously, this trade, it like you said, it is low risk, right? And when he leaves for free agency, you'll probably get a seventh conditional back or whatever. So it evens itself out at the end of the day at some point. But you're right. We don't know if he's an upgrade over Clifford or Pratt. We don't really know that. And listen, to be honest with you, and I think all Packer fans agree, we hope we never have to find out, right? Like, that's right. The whole thing with this is you don't want to have to find out if he is or not, because that means Jordan Love lost a chin strap for a game and Red couldn't find him a new one, or T-Bone couldn't find a new chin strap. So that's what that would mean. So, but again, it's just one of those things where it is a little bit of an eye opener, but in the big scheme of things, I don't know if I don't think it means a whole ton, to be honest with you, but we'll see, right? The NFL's the NFL. You never know what's going to happen.
I got a question. It reinforces the belief that Goody's horrible picking quarterbacks, both starters and backups, other than one case.
Well, that's all you need to be right is on one case.
Well, I agree. But
you've got to be right on one.
I agree. That's correct. But what I stated is also accurate, and this would be one more on the list with Sean Clifford, and I am assuming, based on his track record, that Willis will stink too.
Well, first of all, I think the point that we do need to probably make too, though, is this guy really going to be ready to be the backup in Sao Paulo in the opener in whatever it is, 11 days? Like, no way. So I would think, you know, they cut, I would anticipate, and again, I don't know what their plan is, but I would anticipate they cut both the guys they have, they keep Willis, and then they try to bring back one or, you know, I don't know, maybe even both on the practice squad for now. And one of those guys is then elevated on game day to back up Love in the actual game against the Eagles. Again, I don't know. You know, there are some questions about, you know, Malik Willis and how quickly he did or didn't pick up the offense in Tennessee. Like, there are legitimate questions about him. And that was my point, you know, as I was kind of going through this yesterday, because Malik Willis was one of the quarterbacks that I put on a list in my story in the State Journal of, hey, these are guys that might get traded or cut that the Packers could have an interest in, right? I mean, down in Atlanta, Taylor Heinicke, who has started games in the league, is, you know, he's in a situation where they drafted Michael Penix Jr. They obviously have Kirk Cousins to be their starter, so he might be available. The Packers found what they thought was a good deal on Malik Willis, but there are question marks about him, and he may not be any better than Sean Clifford is. So we'll have to wait and see. But the bottom line is they came out of that game on Saturday, and you guys all saw on the broadcast, you saw Goody standing next to LaFleur. LaFleur wasn't calling plays, so they had plenty of time to talk. And then you heard LaFleur after the game, his answers about both kicker and backup quarterback sure made it sound like they were beating the bushes to see if they had other options than what they had in-house.
Well, and that brings me to a great question. What do you think's going to happen at the kicker position?
Did you just tell me that your question was a great question? Is that what just happened there?
Yeah, I said that's a great question.
I thought you meant your question was going to be a great question.
He would never do that.
No, he would never do that. That's true.
I believe he should say it more often than he does, but I'm not going to change him. I can't even get him to get a college degree.
Homer would definitely tell you that. Yes. This is a great question by me. Let me tell you why.
No, not by me.
here's a great answer for you. I don't know, because the same problem exists, right? Like, do you think that, you know, let's take just for an example, because I did this yesterday I went through all of the kicking competitions that exist right now going into final cuts across the league. And the one that I looked at that got my attention was the Jets one. They've got this kid, Austin Seabirds, who's a pretty good kicker, has bounced around a little bit, but they've got Greg Zuerlein. The Jets, whether they are right about this or not, with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, believe that they are a Super Bowl contender. So when you're a Super Bowl contender, it's like Goody said about keeping Mason Crosby a couple of years ago. You want to have a championship caliber kicker. Now, it turned out the 2022 Packers were not a championship caliber team, but that was his thought process. So I'm guessing the Jets are going to cut Siebert. Now, just because he's someone different than the guys that we watched all summer doesn't mean he's better than the guys we watched all summer. So if you forced me to answer your great question, Brian, I would say that they will probably give the – if they feel like those two guys are tied, I think they will probably give the nod to Anders Carlson and say, look, we don't want to do to Anders what the Vikings did to his brother Daniel and give up on him too soon and then see him go on to be a Pro Bowl kicker somewhere else, in Daniel's case, with the Raiders. But you know this, Brian. I mean, you know, it was so nice, right? I mean, you were there on the field in 2016 when Rodgers throws that completion on the sideline to Jared Cook to keep that drive alive. And then Mason goes out there and kicks the game winner, not once, but twice, right? Because Garrett called timeout and it didn't count the first time. But you know, maybe I don't want to speak for you, but I'm guessing you didn't have a whole lot of doubt, even though it was a 51-yard field goal, that your guy was going to make it. And the problem with Carlson right now, and this was my point about his miss on Saturday, is that just when you think he's kind of got things figured out, he was 22 of his last 25 in practice. He hits a 54-yarder and his extra points earlier in the game. And then he lines up for what should be a chip shot, and he pushes it badly wide right. And what I thought that underscored is that where he's at in his development, it's almost like he's good for one miss a game. Because last season, in their last 12 games, in 10 of those 12 games, he missed at least one kick, which doesn't mean he missed all of his kicks, but it's almost like you're just waiting for that shoe to drop where, okay, he hasn't missed a kick yet, and he seems to miss one a game, and that was the one on Saturday.
Jason, and then you can't keep him then. You can't keep him. You can't
kicker. But the problem is that it's not like there's other guys that are more reliable growing on trees. That's what made Mason so special.
No, Joseph is more reliable under 40 yards. They're all more reliable than he is under 40 yards. They're all. Everyone.
Again, I don't think that's fair, but I don't think in more instances than not, the kicks you're having to win games on are generally not 35-yarders.
Unless you miss 35-yarders earlier in the game.
Well,
here's my question to you, Jason. I said coaches and teams don't like losing the same way. They lost last year because a guy couldn't make kicks inside 40 yards or even inside 35, and I don't believe they'll want to have the same thing happen again. If they're going to lose with a kicker this year, it'll be a different way. Maybe they'll miss longer ones. Now, I could be wrong, but every game you walk out on the field, this is like, what did LaFleur say about the, like, every game you walk out on the field scared because he could miss a kick inside 35 yards.
Yeah, he said in the production meeting, he told the Fox crew that he would pray before every time he went out there.
Do coaches like to pray for the same thing 2 years in a row? No.
Well, maybe he's just becoming a more religious guy this way.
All right. Okay. Take it away.
I mean, all right. So besides the kicking decision that everyone has no idea which way is it going to go, is there any other surprise potential cuts or keeps that you see coming? Like any guys that you will be surprised if they get let go, or guys that we keep that you'd be surprised about?
So there's a couple of things that I'm curious to see because, you know, Goody still believes very much that this is a young man's game, and his behavior certainly underscores that belief. But, like, you know, I don't know how you cut Christian Welch after what he's done in training camp and in the preseason. He's a core special teams guy. He had a great preseason on defense. I know Goody doesn't care about this, but I do. He's from Wisconsin. I mean, the guy grew up 60 miles away from Lambeau. I mean, he seems like the kind of, you know, inexpensive veteran that you want to keep on your team who really has value. So I wouldn't think that they would cut him after what he's done, but I wouldn't be surprised by that. The situation I'm super curious about, and you and I have spent so much time talking about it.
Backup running
back. Swing tackle.
Oh,
no,
geez.
Swing tackle. Because here's the thing, like, I thought that Andre Dillard was trending in the right direction. You obviously had broken down the tape of him, but with his injury, like, I kind of feel like it would be the ultimate Goody move to say, yeah, we're going to take a chance here, and we're going to make Kadeem Telfert our third tackle. And I'm willing to take that risk because there's nothing special about Andre Dillard, and there's all kinds of Andre Dillards out there. And if we're wrong about this, we can go sign another guy that has a different name but is about the same player. So those are the things I'm curious about tomorrow. Obviously, surprise cuts are surprises because you didn't see them coming. But yep. This is such a differently made team. Like, you know, there's I've never been more surprised than I was when they cut Josh Sitton. Like that, he wasn't happy, I know, about not getting a contract extension, everything else. And he wasn't exactly, from what I understand, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I love Josh Sitton. But his unhappiness was pretty well known throughout the building, and that probably factored in to their decision. There's no one that's going to get cut on this team. Like, they're not going to cut Preston Smith. If they did, I would be stunned. But, like, I just don't – there's not enough guys that are far enough in their careers that they would even qualify as a huge surprise when you come to this roster.
Yep. I guess, obviously, the running back, the swing tackle, has Jorn Morgan in the joint practice, was he the starter at right guard, or was it Sean Ryan?
So he hasn't done – Brian, he hasn't done 11-on-11 since he hurt his shoulder.
Okay.
So, like, and again, it's not a position that he played ever before this training camp. So I got to think Sean Ryan, despite having his conditioning called out publicly, has to be their starting right guard in Sao Paulo.
Yeah. I have no other way to look at it, right? I mean, unless he's fine to go and this week of practice that they do, he's out there and he's rolling and he's performing at a really high level. I don't know how LaFleur and Steno and Butkus put him out there when he hasn't really taken any reps against another team in camp or joint practices, right? Like, I don't know how you feel confident doing that unless what he showed you prior to the injury was that, like, eye-opening and so clear that he is the guy. But I'm with you. And I guess, what do you see as, I guess, the fifth receiver? Who do you see being the fifth guy?
So I think it's Bo Melton. I think that he's the best of the second tier. But I also think that Malik Heath is making this team because of the style of play he brings. I mean, he's the new Alan Lazard, right? Like, you need somebody to block their tail off. He's the guy. The question to me is, after that, do they have room for Grant DuBose? Are they really going to carry seven wide receivers?
We will have to discuss that tomorrow, because I know you find this hard to believe that I talk so much. We're a little bit behind, and so we'll continue this. Thanks,
sorry,
Jason.
What are you talking about, Homer?
Yeah.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Third quarter. Man, that was good. WisconsinOnDemand.com. Listen again next.